everyone, welcome to another great episode of Glitters of Life podcast. I am your host Rohit Kokne, and today we are going to have an amazing conversation on a very great topic, is what I believe, and it is all about well-being and confidence. So to talk about that very topic, we have a very special guest with us. She is Jasmine Navarro, an award-winning family and executive well-being expert, international speaker, and author of Creative Confidence Program as well, and many titles to her name. So Jasmine, welcome on the show, and it is a pleasure to host you.
Thank you so much, Rohit. It's a pleasure to be here.
Definitely. And we have chosen a very important topic. So what do you feel about that particular topic? But before we delve into that particular topic, to kick things off, I'm curious to know, besides your professional work, do you have any hidden talents or hobbies that might surprise us?
probably not really. Nothing that surprising. I really enjoy, you know, simple things, swimming in the sea, reading, laughing with my friends, being in nature. So nothing really that surprising. Yeah, simple.
That's fine. Like, it's always a pleasure to live that particular simple life, because then people these days are willing to live that kind of a life, because then they have been into the cities, they have been seeing a lot of trouble with respect to how they are building their well-being, because then the stuff is getting monotonous. They shift to the office, then do the 9 to 5, and then get tired all the day. So to take care of their well-being, they again have to root back to the original roots, that they want a simple life. So definitely we are taking this topic ahead about the well-being. So I want to know, Jasmine, that can you share a specific moment during your international teaching experience that fundamentally shifted your perspective on well-being and the confidence?
Thank you, Rohit. That's a great question. I think it wasn't ever one thing that made me realize the importance of well-being and confidence. You know, when I was a teenager, I went through my own struggles as a teen, and, you know, my family didn't really understand what was going on. They didn't know how to support me and help me. So we just didn't talk about it. So there wasn't really effective communication. So it all stemmed from there, really. And then I became a teacher, and I was teaching primary students, secondary students, and adults. And, you know, when you're in the classroom, you're following a curriculum, and you don't really have time for much else. But I always noticed, you know, some students were struggling with confidence issues, and that was affecting their productivity in the classroom. So, and I wanted to help them more, and I did my best. But, you know, as a teacher, you have so much to do. So fast forward 20 years, I wanted to change my career, because I just always knew I wanted to do something more meaningful. And probably It was all connected to when I was a teenager myself. And I was introduced to the Coactive Method, which is a principle training in coaching, life coaching. And I completed the training. And during that process, I did it because I wanted to find out what I wanted to do with my career. But during the whole process, I learned how important it was to work on yourself, to have the emotional awareness, which leads to emotional well-being, which I believe leads to core confidence. So that's the journey I went on. And then I decided this is what I want to do. So I got certified the following year. And I decided, you know, I was working with adults, delivering workshops, group workshops, one-to-one sessions. And then I thought, you know, I really want to work with teenagers, because I remembered when I was a teenager, and if I'd have had these tools and techniques that I'd learned in coaching, then things would have been a lot easier for me. I would have at least had some kind of preparation, even though I know you can't prepare for all of life's surprises. But so I created my own program, Creative Confidence, and that's what I now deliver to schools and universities. And I do support parents as well. So that's where that came from.
Amazing to know. And about your journey, you did talk about that parents didn't understood you or the way you wanted to experience, because then you never had that kind of opportunity so that you can have that effective communication. So if a person gets into such moment, like if they want to convey to their parents, like if they're getting stuck into those situations, and if parents are quite adamant, if they are not willing to listen to that particular child, so how one person can deal into such situations?
Well, I think, you know, it's the whole family that really need to be to have this level of awareness. And I think it does start with the parents. I think the parents need to have that emotional awareness for themselves. You know, how do they respond to their feelings? Do they suppress their feelings? Do they acknowledge their feelings? You know, how is their relationship with themselves? Because ultimately they're the role models of the family. So it does start with the parents. I do believe that. I mean, I work a lot with parents and teenagers. And, you know, it always starts with listening, you know, active listening. So to have effective communication, and this is what I teach, is active listening, you know, emotional validation and questioning. You know, a lot of parents come to me and they're worried about their teenagers. They say they're not talking to me, they're not doing what I say, things like that. And I just say, you know, how often do you actually listen to them? Let them speak, you know, because we all need to be seen and heard. So it's about active listening, like putting down your phone and really just pausing and listening. And then, you know, validating your child, whatever they're, you know, how are you feeling? And however you're feeling, it's okay. It's not wrong. It's not positive or negative. It's how you're feeling and it's okay. You have a right to feel however you're feeling. And then asking questions as well, you know, what can I do to help you or what do you need right now? You know, powerful questions so your teen can find the answers themselves. And that's what we do in coaching. It's all about empowering the individual so they can find the answers inside themselves, because we all know what we're supposed to do, but sometimes we just need that space to figure it out. And yeah, and that's what I work a lot with, effective communication, because I think that's absolutely key, because sometimes it just takes a conversation and that can change everything.
Absolutely. And what I believe is that is the first step that we have to take. If a person is not comfortable in listening to that particular thing, you just have to take multiple efforts that what we are trying to convey to them. Because then we have seen, like, this particular generation, if we talk about the Gen Z and all, they have been so rapid in adapting to the situations. They are willing to learn more about what is happening. They are willing to get independent as soon as possible. And that is the reason they get adamant. They want to pursue their own dreams. And at times, all the parents may not be open to such kind of a situation, or they might not have that kind of a resources as well. So this gap of communication may evolve. And it is very important that we can just reduce that gap, and somehow we will be able to bridge that gap as well. So again, there comes a question into my mind about the emotional intelligence, because then it may directly impact the person ability to navigate the challenging situations in, say, like, especially in a family or educational setting. So how have you seen that particular moment? Were there kind of instances where the emotional intelligence directly impacted that particular person?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've worked with so many teenagers, so many families where, you know, at the beginning, they didn't have emotional awareness. You know, they didn't even know how they were feeling or anything. And I think that's where it starts. How are you feeling? Because, you know, sometimes we don't even have the language to know how we're feeling. We just say, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm fine.
Yeah.
They're not even feeling. So I have worked with many teenagers and, you know, I've taught them, you know, the language to use, and, you know, and how to identify the feelings in their body, how to process them in a healthy way. That's the key. And, you know, how to respond to those feelings. Because a lot of the time I work with teenagers and, you know, we're taught anxiety or stress is a bad negative feeling. But in coaching, we say there's no such thing as positive or negative feelings. Each feeling is valid and we'll have a message. And we need to hear that message. And if you're having all of these feelings, it means your body is working as it should. You know, we're supposed to have these feelings. Of course, I'm not talking about feelings that debilitate you and you can't get out of your bed, because, of course, then maybe you need therapy, psychologist or something like that. But I'm talking about the everyday feelings that we have, like having anxiety. If you're doing something new or you're taking an exam, you know, it's completely a normal feeling. So how do we respond to this feeling? And, you know, so, like, going back to what I was saying, a lot of teenagers think that, okay, I'm feeling anxiety, I am anxious, and I'm a bad person, because they start hating their feelings, so then they hate themselves, because the feeling is part of themselves. And then when you start hating yourself, that's not really going to make you feel very confident. So I've worked with teenagers who, you know, were struggling in class. They couldn't even raise their hand in class because no confidence at all. But then I work with them and help them become conscious of how they're talking to themselves, what language they're using with themselves, how are they responding to their emotions. And you see how quickly they can transform. Just starting off with the question, what do you say to yourself when you look in the mirror?
Right.
In the morning. And is that helping you? Is that going to help you have the best day that you can have? And just helping them become conscious of that. And what would you like to say to yourself every morning? How can you remind yourself? So maybe they put like something on the mirror just to start that awareness journey. So it's simple things like that.
Then Jasmine, one thing what I feel is that acknowledging or accepting those feelings is a kind of a real task that we have to deal through. Because then we have got a lot of emotions, we have got a lot of situations, and at times we are not in a position to share our own feelings as well. So that happens into the family circle as well. Because then, and we are right now connected with a lot of individuals on social media as well. So we start like feeling comfortable with those people who we don't know, and those people are willing to get known to our journey as well. So how can that particular feeling of acceptance or getting that acknowledgement about our own feelings can be driven into our own well-being setup as well? Because then it's very important to acknowledge that. So what would be your way of acknowledging those particular feelings?
My way? How do I acknowledge my feelings?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, I think doing it with a professional is the best way. It's the best way to start with, to really learn these tools and techniques. But, you know, I work with teenagers and adults, and I say, you know, if you don't have, because it's very important, either working with a professional or at least finding someone that you really trust, that you do need that safe space without judgment. It's not just, I'm not saying, you know, share your feelings with anybody. Like, that's not a good thing either. You know, it's got to be somebody who you trust and it's a safe space. So, but if you don't have that person, and even if you do have that person, I really do believe that journaling your feelings can really, really help as well. Because sometimes, I mean, I journal every day, even if it's just 2 or 3 minutes, just writing down like how I'm feeling. Because like, okay, because then it's out of your head, it's on paper, it's clear. And it's building that relationship with myself. It's like, my feelings are valid, my feelings are important, and I'm going to listen to them. So I write them down. It really helps me, and I do it every morning. And I think, and that might work for some people or it might not, but it's about finding what works for you, you know, and building it into your routine. And that's the thing, when I work with different teenagers and adults, I show them different techniques, and they choose and change to what suits them. You know, exactly. Because we're all different and different things work for us. So,
So that's a very important feeling, like, because then I have never tried journaling. I have been told multiple times. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's quite... I recommend it. Definitely.
But I was always curious, like, if I write them down, what if I'm not able to fulfill those kind of feelings or like acknowledge them? So that has always been the concern. Because,
what do you mean if you're not able to?
Like, see, if I'm writing, like, I'm not feeling well today. So that could be a feeling, whatever I want to achieve or something, like, there could be a part of affirmations as well. There could be a part of like where I'm not at my best as well. Okay. So journaling is more about whatever you are feeling, you are just writing them down.
Yeah, anything.
So anything. It could be anything. So if I'm not at my best, and if that feeling is coming out on a paper, it will give me a rise to a more kind of anxious situations. So that has been my case, like, why I would be.
And I think that's what stops a lot of people. But then that's judging, isn't it? That you've got the judgment right there. And that's the important thing, is to remove that judgment. I mean, I've written a book, and even when before I started writing that, I was completely blocked, because I kept thinking, I have to have it all figured out before I write it. That's completely judgment. When I let go of all judgments, all expectations, and I just started writing, I managed to write the book. So you've got to trust yourself and let yourself just go with it. But that is hard to get to that point. But I think it's great that you've identified what's stopping you. So that's the step towards
Yeah,
bringing awareness.
definitely. Because then, yeah, I must obviously start that. It's not something that I'll be keeping it for 2024. But because then again, it's more about like how you feel about yourself. It's more about in what way you can get better, because then it acts as a tool for the personal development as well. And there could be any way, like people choose journaling, people choose to read, or like for me, podcasting has been something which has kept me on a creative note or the foot, I would say. So that is something like these conversations do really help me to know how things can work and in what better ways we can live our own life as well. So this is something, but then again, there's no harm in adding something which is helpful, which is good for the individual growth. And definitely, I would be including that as well. And Jasmine, I have been loving this conversation, the insights that you are sharing. If we go back to the times that your story has been inspiring, you have had a quite not so good upbringing in terms of like how you were feeling or like what kind of situations you were into, and you did make an effort to change all of that. So can you delve into how your personal experience with grief and change have uniquely equipped you to coach others and with managing the stress and anxiety?
Say that again. How have my
Like
how
your
has
personal experiences with
my
grief and change.
I think that's a good question. I think so obviously I've got the professional experience as well, but I think personal experience. I think what it I mean I think I don't know if it gave me much more empathy, but I always remember having empathy, but I think I do have a lot of empathy and understanding. And I'm very intuitive. So those things I think I've learned from my personal experience. And I think maybe being open as well. But I don't know if I was, I think I was always open, but maybe
Okay.
the experience made me more open. I don't know. And like I said, I've lived in a lot of countries as well. I don't know if I said that, but I've lived in a lot of countries. So that's made me open as well. So I think it's different. It's difficult to know what happened first, but I feel maybe it's maybe more compassionate, or I don't know. I've overcome these challenges, so I feel like I can sense more what the other person might be feeling. Maybe that's given me a greater intuition that way. It's a really good question, actually. I'm not really sure, actually, how it's. You'd have to ask one of my clients. But I think I connect. I think I have that ability to connect
That's
with
something.
all of my clients. And I don't know if that's from my professional experience, because I was teaching so many different kinds of people, ages, nationalities, or it's the experience, but maybe it's both. I think it's a
Oh,
combination. I don't think there's one thing. I think it's a combination of everything, to be honest.
exactly. Because then we all do have the personal qualities as well.
I think I always knew, though. Like when I was teaching, I taught for 20 years, I always knew I was supposed to be doing something else. It's funny,
Yeah.
isn't it? We always know, we get that sense. Yeah,
Right.
something more meaningful. I knew it. But
The
maybe I wasn't
whole.
ready before.
Right.
I had to have that preparation first.
And you have lived in different countries. We all know that particular thing. So, do you feel
Yeah.
that cultural experiences could be a kind of a factor for your well-being and the confidence boost that you can get? So, were there any kind of instances with respect to that as well? Because then each of the country has got its own way of living, the in
Yeah.
a own way of like people react or the way behave.
Well,
So, yeah. And that is something
interesting.
that so
Sorry, I just interrupted, but interesting. I think what I did actually learn was, I know it sounds so simple, but our emotions speak the same language, yeah? So wherever I was, whichever country I was in, and I lived in like three continents, so wasn't just, it was a variety. The problems were the same, actually,
oh.
in the classroom. Problems were the same, you know.
Right.
So, and the feelings were the same. So, you know, emotions do speak the same language. And I just learned that we all want respect and kindness. That's it. Connection. So it didn't matter where I was. You know, I didn't learn all of those languages. I lived in 11 countries. I learned one of the languages, Spanish, but I still connected with with my students. So
which is your favorite country out of them?
I don't think I have a favorite, you know, because I think each country I went to, I was at a different phase in my life as well. So maybe some countries I found more difficult than others, but that was because I was going through something difficult at the time. So I think it's really hard to say what is your favorite country. I mean, I guess at the moment I would say UAE. Because I was here the longest. So, you know, maybe it's that one.
UAE is fantastic. I have been to Dubai, Abu Dhabi as well. So
have you?
I have seen, the kind of progress they have made. Again, it makes you feel that you have to grow into the same manner as a person as well. You have to achieve newer heights. And to achieve that, we all have to work hard. But then again, right now, with the advancement into the social media thing, it's getting overwhelming. The influence is quite real on the young minds. So what would be the innovative strategies or do you recommend for fostering real world connections and confidence in teenagers or the adults as well?
I mean, yeah, we speak a lot about social media because I think social media can be amazing and it can be positive and negative. Yeah. And I really do believe it depends on our mindset when we're approaching and using social media, because of course, if we're feeling really insecure, we hate ourselves, then we go onto social media, we're going to experience something else too. If we're feeling really happy, confident, we're going to have a different experience. We're going to look at different things. We're going to interpret different things in different ways. So I really do believe it's about how we are. First and foremost, that's the most important part of it. But I think what can be quite damaging is if we spend too much time alone. I think that's the thing. And maybe with social media, we might be spending more time alone. And I not just for social media, but, you know, so many more people are working from home. You know, they're just spending more time alone and not interacting face to face with people as much. And I think this can be a problem because then you start thinking, maybe you're experiencing anxiety or stress or something, but you might start thinking, oh, I'm the only one feeling this, because if you're looking at social media, everyone looks so happy. You might start thinking you're the only one, and then you sort of distance yourself because you don't want to connect with people, maybe because you don't want to be the one that is not doing as good as you think everybody else is doing. And that feeling of being alone, I think, is what can cause serious problems, especially with teenagers, because then you can start spiraling, because then you start isolating yourself even more. And then we all know that when you start thinking, problems seem even bigger than they are. And that's why I really do believe that having a real conversation, effective communication, can just disperse all of that. But if you don't have that, and then you end up trying to be someone else to cover up how you're feeling, then you're not being yourself. So then you lose connection with yourself, with others. And I think that's when things can get quite dangerous.
Yeah, because we have seen like each and every day a person is achieving some kind of feats. So that is something which is happening on social media. People are sharing their wins, but not quite often we will be able to see the losses as well, or the kind of like hardships people go through, because then each of them have got their own journey and each and every person is trying to do their best. But then again, it becomes quite overwhelming for the people who are following those kind of people or the influencers. Because then they have made a platform to the best of their knowledge. Like they have been using it to the best of their knowledge and they have been creating content. They have been earning money or whatever we are doing on social media. But the fact remains the same. We have to be quite authentic. We have to be quite real, because then that is how we'll be able to develop the real connections. And that is something which will add value to the each and every person. And to talk about that particular aspect, that we all need confidence to showcase our own skills. So even if we are on social media, we have to get a kind of a purpose. So if we have got that particular purpose, then the life is quite easier out there. So I feel that confidence plays an important role into that. So I want to know about your creative confidence program, like how the educators or the counselors are like including that into their curriculum or learning environment. So to make it more supportive and empowering for the people out there.
Well, yeah, my program is, you know, I really tried to, when I designed it, I tried to make it as simple as possible, because I think, like you mentioned as well, you know, we can be so overwhelmed with information. There's so much information out there. And, you know, when somebody says, do you want this information for me, or read this, do this, I'm like, no, thank you. Do not give me anything else. My mind is full. I've got enough, you know. So I really wanted to simplify it, because, like, if we're given too much stuff, we don't do anything. And it's the same thing, isn't it? When if you give yourself too many things to do, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this, I'm going to change my life, you end up feeling so overwhelmed, you don't do anything. So I thought, right, it's got to be simple, 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 simple. So I divided it into different topics. And yeah, it's simple, it's colorful, it's engaging, and it's about them. You know, there's no right or wrong, and they can use it best for them. You know, it's not like I'm a teacher and I'm saying, right, you've got to do this, this, and this. No, it's like, these are the tools. How best can you use them? So they decide. So it's very learner centered. And, you know, I cover topics like accessing your superpower, because I think that's a good one to start with as well, because, you know, even I've asked teenagers, adults, what are your five strengths, or what are your five qualities? They find it hard to answer. And I remember I used to find that really hard to answer as well. It's like, I don't have any qualities, you know. Yeah, it might sound, you know, but it's true. And I've worked with a lot of, you know, anyway, so we work on their strengths. And, you know, they can draw them, they can make them, they can create them, however they want to express what they're learning. They do it their way, through writing, through speaking, through arts and crafts, confidence, lots of confidence building, resilience building. Depends if it's group or one-to-one. If it's groups, we have lots of pair work, group work, all different things, really. Perspective exercises, you know, teaching them that there's, when you have different topics in your life, you can look at them more than a million ways. Which way are you looking at this topic? Normally we just choose two or three ways of looking at things. Just giving them that awareness. They're all awareness-based exercises. And I do actually have, it's on a platform as well for coaches and counselors and educators. And it's up to them how they use it, you know, because they can use the whole program or they can adapt and use some of it. It's up to them. So whatever best works, you know, I'm very open with that. I think you've got to be open and flexible.
Yeah. Once you're open, once you're flexible, then you feel empowered. And I really love that particular point, like to list your superpowers. Because then if you are talking about that particular aspect, you start thinking and subconsciously we get into a zone that we are capable of doing something. And that is something that will take us to the success. But then again, in your view, how should teenagers or the adults redefine success in today's high-pressure society? Because then there are a lot of labels that are attached. There are a lot of titles that we see to the person's name. So when it comes about setting personal and professional boundaries, how people can redefine success in today's world?
Well, I think, like I said, I think it all starts with emotional awareness. Because I think when you can manage your emotions, then you can really build that healthy relationship with yourself. And when you have that healthy relationship with yourself, you're going to know how to create healthy boundaries with yourself, with everybody else. And, you know, when you learn how to say no to other people and not people please, saying no to other people, then you're going to have less chance of, you know, experiencing high levels of stress, burnout.
Yeah.
You know, so many people I work with, adults as well, they're on the verge of burnout because they're just saying yes to everyone and no to themselves. And that is because they have a poor relationship with themselves. Maybe it's because of something that happened when they were younger. Maybe it's some limiting beliefs that they've created that worked for them in childhood but are not working for them now. So we have to, you know, uncover all of that and process all of that. And then they can start again, but it's processing emotions.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to process and emotions. You know, you can go through something when you're a child, but you don't process it. So it stays in your body and you think, okay, it's the past. But no, our body is still carrying it if it's not been processed, and you will make your decisions about your future based on something that's happened to you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really any way of getting away from it. You know,
okay.
You overprocess the feelings. The best thing is to process them as they come up. But if you haven't, then go back to the past, start processing. Because if you don't, they are affecting your future.
So just a question, like how we can arrive at that particular answer that I have processed my feelings entirely.
Well, I don't know if you ever, you don't get to the point where it's done.
Okay. Like, so it's quite a continuous process that we just have to get into that loop and keep doing it.
Exactly. But of course you can process, like if you've had trauma or something like that, then I believe you can process that. Maybe you'd always have something there, but you can learn to manage it and not to let it affect your life in a negative way. So, but I think there's always something to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Like if you have something kept incomplete or so, like we'll be working more harder towards achieving or getting better into the next iteration is what I believe. Because then the earlier process makes us quite like, it's a kind of a learning curve that comes into a picture.
Yeah.
I have achieved something in the past and then I'm more well equipped to achieve something in near future as well. And
if
you talk about the common limiting beliefs, so
I just have to say, sorry, that there's no quick fix. Yeah, there's no magic wand. Like, there's no quick fix. And I think some people do think, oh, I've done that, so this should be. No, it's like if your physical fitness. Like, if you want to be fit, you have to keep doing things to make you fit. It's the same thing with your mental health.
Absolutely. That's a big disclaimer that we have to give to the people out there, that there is no quick fix. And someone like you who is saying that, absolutely, then they have to believe into that particular thing. So you did talk about that common limiting belief as well. So were there any kind of examples into your own coaching journey that you have encountered and helped someone to overcome it? So would love to know about that, because then people do have various common limiting beliefs is what I believe. So few examples of that and ways to overcome
it. The most common limiting beliefs that people have, let me think. A lot of, you know, my clients, you know, I don't deserve this. That's like the core one. I don't deserve this. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. Those ones are very, very, I think probably most of us have them. You know, maybe something happened when in childhood or something, you developed them. But yeah, they're like the deep ones. But you can have beliefs like, you know, if I don't do this, it just limits things. If I don't please everybody, then I won't have any friends, for example. You know, things like that. Or if I don't get the best grades, then I won't have any friends. You know, I have a lot of teenagers coming up to me and they say, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect for my family, for my teachers. And I'm like, that will never happen. You will never be perfect. And the pressure that they put on themselves. So, yeah, I think a lot of these limiting beliefs are about, I need to do something in order to be accepted. You know, it seems to be that thing. And so we have to work on that. Where did that belief come from? And, you know, we work on that. But that, if you go too far into the past, that's more therapy. And, you know, coaching is like therapy is more about the past, but coaching is more about the present and future and taking action. It's present processing, whereas processing trauma in the past is therapy. And I'm a coach, not a therapist. So,
yeah, it's always better to guide people onto the future path is what I believe. And then it becomes quite important to let them know that you can flourish whatever may be your situations. I have seen, like, I have got friends who are not that good into their academics, but then they're living quite happily. They are having a good job. They're having a happy family. So
definitely. It's not just about the grades. Yeah,
definitely. And people often try to look the aspects of the emotional awareness, and that can significantly affect the confidence as well. So what has been your perspective towards that particular thing? Why does it happen, and in what way we can overlook the aspect of the emotional awareness, and which significantly impacts the confidence level of the people out there?
So how does emotional awareness affect confidence?
If overlooked.
Well, like I said, if you don't have the emotional awareness, then you don't know how to look after your emotional well-being. And if you don't know how to look after your emotional well-being, you might be, you won't be responding to your emotions in a healthy way, and you won't be processing them in a healthy way. You might just suppress them and then have outbursts. And your behavior will probably get you into trouble as well. So maybe people might not like you if you're having these angry outbursts. So you might feel alone, and people are not responding to you in a nice way because you're angry all the time, for example. So you might not have many friends, which is going to affect where you feel about yourself, possibly. But also, you might start hating your emotions because you will start realizing these emotions are maybe getting me into trouble.
Yeah.
And they're going to feel uncomfortable because you're not processing them in the correct way. So that's the thing. If you start disliking your emotions, then you're disliking part of yourself. That's the thing. So you're not, and having this core confidence is all about really accepting every part of yourself and loving every part of yourself. And if you don't do that, then if you start disliking yourself, it's going to lower your confidence.
Yeah.
So it's all connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And after having this conversation, what I feel is that if I take a pen and paper and write down whatever I want to achieve, whatever are my shortcomings, then there are multiple aspects that a human being has to look at to improve themselves as well. Because then no one is perfect, and there is always a scope of improvement is what I believe. And there are, and in different ways, like Jasmine, it happens, like no one person will be able to achieve all of those into a certain pattern. Like there is no point. Yeah.
And I think, it's not just, improving, I guess that's different. It's just, we don't need fixing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say. Like, we're not broken. We don't need fixing.
Right.
It's just improvement, like you said, development, personal development.
And no fix, like a routine or a setup can help each and every person. It's just about like what are their likings, dislikings, and have to evolve and make the changes accordingly.
Someone once told me, you can only be the best at being yourself or something. And I absolutely love that, because I thought, no one can be better than you at being yourself. So that's what you've got to do, because you're the best at that. Instead of trying to be somebody else, trying to fit in to this other person that people want you to be. No, you're the best at being yourself. That's it. You can't be better than you.
Right. That makes sense. It's more about, like, it does make sense. And it's more about, like, you just have to get started into that particular journey. You don't have to get fancy into it. But at your own pace, you can improve yourself. And there is a lot to do into that particular aspect, because then it's more about well-being. If we are good enough, if we are feeling great enough for that particular day, the day we are living, then absolutely, like, being into that particular present moment will uplift our spirit of getting into that zone of confidence, and then making or taking best out of that particular day as well. So that is very important. And coming on to the last part of this episode, Jasmine, I want to know, like, looking forward, what do you envision as the big next step into the evolution of well-being and confidence for like, because then a lot of people are now taking help, like you have been guiding a lot of teenagers, adults as well. So what do you think, like, is going to happen next? Because then we have seen, like, the technology is evolving with respect to the AI and all that particular stuff. It's getting more competitive. But then human presence is something which makes a very different kind of a feeling for each and every individual. Yeah. That connection always uplifts the spirit. So what do you think that the next step could be?
What do I think the next step would be? I think I definitely believe that teenagers nowadays have a lot more self-awareness than we did, well, and I did growing up, because there's so much more access to information. So, but I think, but maybe they will be opening up to ChatGPT. I don't know. I already know people who do, who ask ChatGPT for so much information, advice, even if it's emotional advice. To be honest, Rohit, I don't know what the future holds, but I just know that the youth nowadays are just so much more emotionally aware than we ever were. So, and I think we just need to put more trust in them, and we can learn from them, actually. But who knows what the future holds, you know? Who knows?
Absolutely.
I have no idea, to be honest. But I think what I would like to happen is, you know, just having more of these real conversations and people being real and showing more of our real self and not being ashamed to talk honestly and openly about what's really going on. Because I think that's what builds connection, being vulnerable, being honest, being open. And I think more of these conversations, telling stories, our real story, I think it can be empowering. It can, I think a conversation can change lives. So I think, I hope there'll be more real conversations.
They are surely going to happen. And then, like, if I'm going to start journaling, then you would be that particular person. You will be the reason. And
hey, I'll always make it.
So that is something that happens, like the change happens from one person. And again, as you said, like live in the moment, be in the moment, and there is always great to live this particular life. And as this show's name is like Glitters of Life, so how do you see this particular word into your own life as well? The glitters of life.
Glitters of life. Oh, I like that. Glitters of life. How do I see... What's the question?
How do you see this particular word or the name impacting your life? Like, how do you envision it?
Glitters. Well, glitters for me mean something new, variety, exciting. So that's how I see it. New variety. Great. Exciting. Maybe that's what's happened. That's what's happening with me now. I see what you are, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the moment. Like, this is the present moment that you are feeling with those kind of words. And definitely so good to know about that.
And thank you.
It has been a great conversation, Jasmine, because then your insights, whatever the ways you have shared, whatever the conversation we had, it's always a lot to learn from them and to apply them as well. We can't just listen to this conversation and don't apply those learnings.
Yes.
It's more about like, do apply those learnings, because then well-being, confidence goes hand in hand. And if we are able to achieve that balance into our own life, the happiness could be like beyond expressing in words. So that is what we are going to try achieving through this conversation. And I hope we have achieved that goal as well. So this was all from this episode, dear viewers and listeners. Thank you so much, Jasmine, for making to this episode. It was a pleasure hosting you. And if anyone wants to connect with Jasmine, she is quite active on LinkedIn, and you can surely send her a DM or email. Her social media description, the links will be in the description of this episode. So thank you again, Jasmine, and have a great life ahead. I wish you all the best for your future endeavors.
Thank you so much, Rohit. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you and come on your podcast.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Stay happy. Stay healthy. Take care.